Brazil's Lula signals trade truce with Trump after White House breakthrough. Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva and Donald Trump emerged from a three-hour White House working meeting on May 8, declaring an end to what both governments described as one of the most severe bilateral crises in two centuries of U.S.-Brazil relations, cracking open a trade corridor that connects the world's second-largest rare earth reserves to the hemisphere's largest consumer economy. The meeting produced no signed agreements and no disclosed dollar figures. What it did produce was a framework, bilateral working channels covering trade, tariffs, security, and regional cooperation, with technical teams tasked to address certain key elements and follow-on meetings scheduled over coming months, according to Trump's post-meeting statement. Trump described Lula as very dynamic and said the meeting went very well. Lula, at a press conference at Brazil's embassy in Washington, called the encounter an important step in consolidating relations and said the relationship was very good, something that many doubted could happen. The reset arrives after more than a year of friction that included a 50% tariff imposed on Brazilian exports in August 2025, which Trump explicitly linked to the trial of former President Jair Bolsonaro, who was sentenced to 27 years in prison for an attempted coup. The thaw began with a 39-second exchange at the United Nations General Assembly in September, followed by a formal meeting in Kuala Lumpur in October on the margins of the ASEAN summit. The stakes extend well beyond bilateral optics. Brazil holds the world's second-largest reserves of rare earth minerals, surpassed only by China, and Lula said he was open to discussing U.S. investments in the sector while maintaining that Brazil prioritizes domestic processing and national job creation. In a global supply chain environment where the Iran war has closed the Strait of Hormuz and disrupted approximately 20% of global oil and LNG flows, Washington's appetite for Western Hemisphere resource partnerships has become structurally urgent. The 50% tariff overhang and what comes next for Brazilian exports. The August 2025 tariff imposition was the sharpest point of the bilateral crisis. A 50% levy on Brazilian exports represented a punitive rate by any measure, applied by an administration that has simultaneously threatened the European Union with tariff increases above 15% on EU goods if a trade deal is not ratified by the 4th of July deadline. Trump's pattern is consistent: use tariff pressure to extract diplomatic and commercial concessions, then negotiate from a position of strength. The Lula meeting fits that template precisely. No tariff reduction was announced publicly, and terms were not disclosed. The agreement to establish bilateral working channels is the mechanism through which tariff relief, if any, will be negotiated. For Brazilian exporters, the path from here runs through those technical teams. Sectors with the most at stake include agriculture, where Brazil is a dominant global supplier of soybeans and beef, and mining, where rare earth processing capacity is the strategic variable. Lula's insistence on domestic processing as a condition for U.S. investment in critical minerals is the key friction point. Washington wants raw material access, Brasilia wants value-added jobs. That gap does not close in a single working meeting. Brazil holds the world's second-largest rare earth mineral reserves, surpassed only by China. Lula said he was open to U.S. investment in the sector but reiterated that Brazil prioritizes domestic processing and national job creation. Critical minerals, the asset class underneath the diplomacy, the rare earth dimension of this reset is the most consequential element for institutional capital. China controls the dominant share of global rare earth processing capacity, and the Iran conflict has accelerated Washington's search for alternative supply chains across energy, defense, and technology inputs. Brazil's position is structurally powerful but commercially underdeveloped. The country holds reserves of the minerals required for electric vehicle motors, defense electronics, and energy storage systems, but processing infrastructure remains limited. Lula's stated preference for domestic value add before export is not an obstacle to investment. It is a negotiating position that creates an opportunity for structured partnerships, joint ventures, and project finance arrangements that bring capital and technology into Brazil while satisfying Brasilia's employment objectives. The comparable deal architecture is the kind of framework the U.S. has pursued with rare earth producers in Africa and Central Asia, where offtake agreements, equity stakes, and development finance from the U.S. International Development Finance Corporation have been structured to bypass Chinese processing monopolies. A Brazil-U.S. critical minerals agreement, if it materializes through the announced working channels, would represent a transaction of that type at a scale commensurate with the size of Brazil's reserves. No deal values were disclosed, and the working group has not yet met. The opportunity is real, the timeline is uncertain. Cuba, PCC, and the security variables that could derail the reset carries embedded risk. Three security issues surfaced during or around the Lula-Trump meeting, each with the capacity to fracture the diplomatic progress. First, the designation of the Primeiro Comando de Capital and the Comando Vermelho as foreign terrorist organizations remains unresolved. Lula confirmed the matter did not come up during the conversation. a bilateral working group on organized crime was established instead. Brazil's legal position is that these criminal structures operate for economic rather than ideological motives, which would exclude them from terrorist designation under Brazilian law. If the Trump administration pursues those designations unilaterally, the bilateral working channels would face immediate strain. Second, Cuba. On May 8, the same day as the Lula-Trump meeting, Secretary of State Marco Rubio announced a new package of sanctions against GAESA, the Cuban military conglomerate that controls approximately 40% of Cuba's economy and allegedly holds some $20 billion in assets diverted to overseas accounts. The sanctions include a June 5 deadline for foreign companies and financial institutions to cease operations with GAESA or face secondary sanctions. Lula said Trump assured him he was not planning to invade Cuba, though Lula qualified that statement by referencing his interpreter. The simultaneous GAESA sanctions signal that Washington's Cuba pressure campaign continues regardless of what was said in the room. That pressure will test Lula's willingness to maintain the bilateral reset when the political cost at home rises. Third, the 2022 elections. Lula directly referenced Trump's support for Bolsonaro and said he believed Trump will behave as the President of the United States, letting the Brazilian people decide their own destiny. That statement is a marker, not a resolution. Bolsonaro's 27-year sentence remains the live political variable that triggered the August 2025 tariffs in the first place. The Iran war is the macro accelerant for Western Hemisphere resources. The Iran conflict is the structural backdrop that makes this reset matter at a global level. The closure of the Strait of Hormuz has disrupted approximately 20% of global oil and LNG supplies. Shell reported Q1 2026 profits of $6.92 billion, up from $5.58 billion in the same period a year earlier, driven by oil price volatility and trading margins. Equinor reported Q1 2026 profits of $9.77 billion, its highest quarterly result in 3 years. BP's Q1 profits more than doubled year over year. The energy shock reorders supply chain priorities. Countries with Western Hemisphere energy and resource capacity become more valuable to Washington as alternatives to Middle East and China-dependent supply chains. Brazil, with offshore pre-salt oil production, rare earth reserves, and agricultural export dominance, sits at the intersection of every strategic resource category that the current global disruption has made critical. The Iran war also gives Lula diplomatic cover. He has described the conflict as madness, a position that plays domestically in Brazil and gives him leverage as a neutral party in a Washington increasingly isolated from global South opinion. Sources: Merco Press, BBC/Shell. Cable reflects sourced claims only. Investment positioning: what institutional capital does now the bilateral working channels are the instrument to watch. No capital deployment is justified on the basis of a diplomatic statement alone. The mechanism matters: when technical teams meet, what sectors are prioritized, and whether the tariff overhang from August 2025 is formally addressed. For private equity and institutional investors with Latin America mandates, the critical minerals space is the highest conviction theme emerging from this reset. The investment thesis requires domestic processing capacity in Brazil, which means infrastructure capital, not just mining equity. The political risk premium on Brazil assets has been elevated since the 2025 tariff imposition. A sustained diplomatic reset compresses that premium. For credit investors, the June 5 secondary sanctions deadline on GAESA creates a hard binary for any institution with Cuba exposure. The deadline is 28 days from the date of the Lula-Trump meeting. That is not a theoretical risk, it is a current operational one. The Brazil Central Bank's concurrent 25 basis point cut in the Selic rate to 14.50% adds a monetary policy tailwind to the diplomatic signal. Lower rates and a large emerging market economy, combined with a potential tariff reduction pathway, create conditions for a re-rating of Brazilian assets. The Plaquemium view the market is reading this as a bilateral diplomatic story. It is actually a critical mineral supply chain story dressed in diplomatic language, and the difference in framing changes the investment calculus entirely. Washington does not spend 3 hours with a counterpart it has been tariffing at 50% unless there is a structural asset it wants. That asset is Brazil's rare earth reserves. China's dominance over rare earth processing is the single most important supply chain vulnerability for U.S. defense and technology industries, and the Iran conflict has made that vulnerability viscerally clear to every decision-maker in Washington. Lula knows this. His insistence on domestic processing is not nationalist obstruction. It is leverage maximization by a skilled political operator who spent a year in the tariff penalty box and is now at the table precisely because Brazil's reserves are irreplaceable. The second-order play is the processing infrastructure gap. Brazil can supply raw rare earth material, but the value-added step requires capital, technology, and processing facilities that do not yet exist at scale in Brazil. The investment opportunity is in the midstream, processing plants, logistics infrastructure, and the joint venture structures that allow U.S.-aligned capital to participate in Brazilian resource development without triggering Brasilia's domestic job creation requirements. The precedent to watch is not a prior U.S.-Brazil deal. It is the U.S.-DRC Cobalt Framework and the U.S.-Australia Critical Minerals Agreement, both of which structured equity and offtake arrangements that gave Washington supply chain security without requiring outright resource ownership. A Brazil-U.S. structure of that type, applied to a reserve base of the scale Brazil holds, would be among the largest emerging market resource transactions of the decade. The Cuba wildcard is the asymmetric risk. The Gaesa sanctions deadline of June 5 arrives 28 days after the reset was declared. If Lula is forced to publicly defend Cuba against U.S. sanctions escalation, the political cost at home and the diplomatic cost in Washington will collide. That collision, not the tariff negotiation, is the most likely mechanism through which this reset fails. Our base case, the working channels hold through mid-2026 as both sides pursue a critical minerals framework. The reset survives Cuba if the sanctions stop short of military action, which Trump's own statement to Lula suggests is the current U.S. position. The tariff overhang does not disappear, it becomes a negotiating chip in a minerals deal. Investors with a 12 to 24-month horizon should treat the diplomatic signal as a leading indicator for Brazilian asset re-rating, with the critical minerals sector as the primary expression of that trade. The bottom line: Trump and Lula reset a relationship that a 50% tariff had broken, and the mechanism for that reset was Brazil's rare earth reserves, the second largest in the world. No deal was signed and no terms were disclosed. What exists now is a bilateral architecture for negotiation, a monetary policy tailwind from the Selic cut to 14.50%, and a 28-day countdown on Cuba sanctions that will test whether the reset holds under pressure. For institutional capital, the question is not whether Brazil matters strategically, that answer is obvious. The question is which vehicle captures the value when the processing infrastructure gap closes. That is where the trade is.